Hi, and welcome back to SEPA Stories. All right, wonderful listeners and amazing writers who have contributed and who are following, welcome to Season 4 of SEPA Stories. I do apologize for any delay in getting this particular season launched, as I'm sure so many of us, pretty much everywhere all over the world, has seen this last year. There have been many things going on in the world, and my family just happened to be kind of caught up in a little bit of it the last 2 weeks. We are all healthy. We, so far, so good. We are all doing well. And so that is a blessing. We had some personal family issues happen that kind of delayed the launch of season 4. And I think that in this time, these very uncertain days, that we just have to kind of roll with the punches a little bit. And it's not as, I don't think our days are as secure as they were before, you know, March, when everything really started to unfurl in the United States. Actually, it started a little bit earlier than that, but I think most states here in the United States really started to be affected by the pandemic a couple of weeks, I would say at the end of February, beginning of March. And since then, everyone's just trying to figure out, you know, how to do their day by day. So I know there are a lot of people with side hustles and a lot of people who have lost employment. Some are very sick and are in the hospital. I personally know several people who are trying to recover. I have had other friends lose their jobs and or in risk of losing their employment. So that's, these things are all very stressful. And the upcoming school year for so many of American students, you know, it's really not yet defined, and it's coming up pretty quickly, which is a challenge for working parents to be able to plan how they will be able to work with their children, especially if they're having to go to work. So there's all these types of considerations and decisions that, and you know, you're trying to plan for eventualities that you just don't know yet predictively what will happen. So with that, I do apologize for any delay in getting season 4 launched. Part of SEPA Stories is to offer a place of refuge to give you a break from the day-to-day stresses, even if it's 15 minutes or, you know, a short story. My goal is to be able to make ourselves a nice little listening room, if you will, you know, kind of like joining for a friend, you know, with a cup of tea or coffee, or maybe you're sitting in your favorite squashy chair or reclining in your bed, and maybe you're laying down and it's been the end of a long day, or maybe you're commuting and you're listening at work. So for me to do these podcast episodes, it's a way to kind of give you a break in my way, and my gift to you, in trying to voice these really wonderful stories written by amazing writers that are literally from all over the world. I have a writer who is in France, and Magda the Magpie, thank you for that, who does amazing crossover fan fictions, and I'm really excited to share more of her work upcoming in season 4. We have writers that are in the Deep South that are contributing to SEPA Stories. I have friends that are in the Pacific Northwest, and that's really awesome. You know, it's good to hear from you guys, and I think it's also wonderful. One of the things that's very rewarding as a reader on SEPA Stories is simply getting to meet so many amazing fan fiction writers that are all over the world, and UK has been represented as well. You know, in this podcast, we've got some marvelous writers, and so it just means so much to be able to reach out to people from different countries. And it seems like the love of the Harry Potter universe, and really that creative spark that drives a person to put to paper an idea or a story or even artwork. You know, I think that creative spark that ignites in a person's soul, that they want to create something. And, you know, of course, this is a vehicle to share that creativity, to me, there's just no greater reward than spending some time doing this. So, no, this is not for personal gain or revenue. I don't make any money doing this, or very little. I do use the Anchor site and as my recording vehicle, and I use my iPad of all things to do these recordings. So it's very simplistic on my end how I'm making this happen for everybody, but the biggest contribution is actually my time. Any monies I make is from the advertising for Anchor Stories, or actually for the Anchor site. That are placed in as breaks, which I would have to break either way. That's my moment to kind of catch my breath and to prepare for commentary and that kind of thing. But if you've listened to this show, you know what our format is. And it just means so much to me on a personal level to be able to hopefully inspire new writers or to entertain people who really love the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and to represent all genres and every demographic that has an interest in listening to fan fiction. You know, it's not just Hermione and Ron stories. You know, it is, sometimes it's Harry and Draco's, or it is, you know, somebody going through a personal transformative story. It could be age differences. It could be really crazy elements of suspense. And that's the thing. I think with fan fiction, there is something for everybody. And I really try to give you a wide swath of that. If there's a story that I voice and you're not comfortable with it, or it's just not for you, skip it. Go on to the next one, because there's chances that there'll be something that you will really enjoy. So with that, I wanted to tell you a little bit about what season 4 will be doing. We're going to continue really exploring fan fiction and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, or as inspired by the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And I think that instead of prefacing every story by saying, you know, that we don't own characters, or I'm just going to make that blanket statement in this intro so that each episode after this particular podcast, we'll just start off with the read and we'll get right down to the nitty gritty. So I'm going to say all stories that will be read in season 4 of Seppo Stories, the exploration and more delving into fan fiction inspired by the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, when none of the writers that I represent or that are sharing their stories on Seppo Stories owns any of the intellectual rights or characters or merchandising the souls of characters. We are not creating Horcruxes, any of those things. We do not own any of the property rights or any of the intellectual material as created by the original author, J.K. Rowling. All of our writers simply love the Wizarding World, and we play in the sandbox of Harry Potter magic. So with that, I wanted to make that a blanket statement for the season. So we're looking at upcoming 35 stories, and when I'm not recording a story and I have personal time, I am reading fan fiction and a lot of it. And I reach out to authors that, let me tell you kind of what I'm looking for so you kind of know what to expect. I'm always looking for a well-written, completed piece of fan fiction writing. And whether it's a one-shot, which is a single story, or a ficlet, which is maybe a half of a short story, it's a very small piece. Sometimes I look for the really long, beefy, ginormous, you know, works of fan fiction that might have 90 to 100 chapters. And kind of what I want to do is, you might hear a lot of single one-shots up front, because I can easily record those and get those posted for you to enjoy and listen. And then the stories that are multiple chapters may take me a while longer to record all chapters, so that when I do publish that particular episode, you will have it in its entirety. I hate reading or listening to stories and then they're not finished and then I have to wait. I like my gratification to be instant. And if you're like me, you do too. So you want to hear the whole thing. So I can guarantee you that if I'm reading a multi-chapter piece of fan fiction, it's going to be the whole story in that episode, so you can power through it. All right, so With that, let me also tell you, we will be looking at crossover pieces, and if there's a piece of fan fiction that really isn't related to Harry Potter, I'll try to break those out into their own separate seasons, kind of keep things consistent. You are welcome to email me at, of course, my Gmail account if there's a particular genre that you would like to hear more of as a listener. You can find me on Tumblr. I'm SuperRaven200 on Tumblr. Find my page. If you see the blue raven in front of an orange moon, you're in the right place. You can find me on Spotify and Apple iTunes, Breaker, Google Podcasts. So we're pretty wide in distribution, and I am still trying to get us launched on YouTube. That's proving to be a little more of a challenge, but that is my ultimate goal, is to have a simultaneous cast so that, no matter where you're at, if you want to hear fan fiction, it's going to be there for you. So we're working on that. For my writers, okay, so we were talking a little bit about what I'm looking for to put on this podcast. Okay, so really well-written pieces of fan fiction. I do like fan fiction that has already had a beta read. That means somebody has gone in after the original writer and done a quick edit. Betas are important because they provide editing services very much like a professional editor would do. They'll clean up work in writing, spelling, sentence structure, that kind of thing, to make sure that the story is cohesive and clean. I like to find stories that pay attention to the details. So if you are writing fan fiction and your character is in UK, make sure that your constellations would be the constellations. If they're looking up at the sky, I want to know what's in the sky in the UK. So, make it is do your research. Do your research as a writer. If you're going to write something, write about what you know. And if you don't know it, don't assume. Even if it's fan fiction, go that extra mile and find out those details. Okay, so other things that are important too. I like stories that maybe take a twist or present an idea that's different. All right, so we've talked about lemons in the past and explicit content in material. While I would love to really read some of those really hardcore rated M's because they're, let's face it, fun and everybody likes a ooh, ooh, ooh moment, I can't read a lot of the really hardcore explicit on this podcast as much as I would love to do that. There are other sites that we could do that on, and if I should find one of those, I'll let you know. But this will really never go much more past things heating up in the bedroom, and but I really can't delve much further into hardcore explicit material simply because I do not know who's on the other side of this podcast, and I would hate to break any laws. Different states, different countries may have different laws about what people may listen to. So I don't want to break any of the rules, laws, or regulations for states or, local governments or places where this might be in publication. So I try to keep it, kind of clean. If there is going to be hardcore explicit material, like I said, I will try to find a separate site if you wanted to hear more of that, and post stories to those sites with writer's permission. Okay, so just kind of putting that out there. And of course, I can direct you to that, but I cannot read those works here on this site. So for authors, kind of consider that. And if there is really explicit or dubious, content, let me put it that way, then I might reach out to you to see if I might be able to soften the story in my read on this podcast so that we don't kind of delve across the line of what would be appropriate for listeners to be able to listen to, dependent on what the law is, or what I would be able to actually legally be able to do. So keep that in mind. I do not like editing, and I am so not about censorship. That is totally not who I am. But I do want SUPA stories, to gain momentum and to be listened to by as large a following as possible. So we got to kind of keep it a little clean, although we'll definitely dive into the meringue, the lemon meringue, as much as possible. So, okay, so Sepa stories. Sepa stories kind of came into like where did this come from? How did this podcast happen? Sepa stories, what inspired me to do this podcast and, like where did this idea come from? I love reading fan fiction, and sometimes after an incredibly long day of crunching numbers, that's what I do. I eat numbers for lunch, breakfast, dinner. I go to sleep, dreaming accounting equations, and that's what I do. It's a bit dry. In my real life, in the real world, I crunch numbers. And so when I come home or when I've finished my work day, many days my brain feels like just a pile of mush. It's like it just hurts to think sometimes after the end of the day, really trying to hit deadlines and keep a family in a house running and all the things that you have to do living in the world, and especially with a job where you've got responsibilities. And so for me to unwind, a lot of people might watch televisions, or maybe they'll watch reality shows, or maybe they exercise, or different people have different hobbies that they do. For me, it has always been reading. Now, I love to read just about anything I can get my hands on. I love American Gothic literature. I love Stephen King horror books, and I eat them and read them as fast as he can write them. I like reading books about history. I like historical fiction, hysterical fiction, or historical. I like books about Henry VIII. I like books about the Roman Empire. My latest kick has been watching Korean and Chinese soap operas. They are 60, about 62, 63 episodes long, and they are pure fun. I love them. There's so much going on, and I learn new things. So that's interesting too. I used to watch the news. Now I can no longer watch the news. And in fact, I kind of refuse to watch the news. The world is so turbulent right now. But I used to love watching the Discovery Channel, History Channel, until they started kind of getting into, are mermaids real kind of things. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I want to know the sciencey things. My brain has always just wanted to absorb all different kinds of things, and so I remember I was looking for free things to listen to. Sometimes out at my jobs, if I'm doing really hardcore analytical work, I might listen to the Peter Benchley Jaws audiobook. It's a book I love reading. It's a film I grew up watching. I love the book itself. I love the film too, but I love the book. And so being able to kind of just have that in the background, it's for me, I know it's a shark story and the shark is having a great time eating everyone, but and there's a lot more going on in the book, but for me it's a comforting story because it's just so very familiar. I did the same with Stephen King's Dark Tower series. The first time I listened to it, and it just completed, I would want to say, in the early 2000s, but this was a series Stephen King had been writing for a very long time. I believe he began in the 70s and didn't finish, and almost didn't get to finish. He did get hit by a van. And I thought, oh my gosh, what would have happened if we would have lost him and never had a completion to this series? It would have been devastating. But he did finish the series. And if there is one I would recommend to you, and I think if it isn't already being recognized for the masterpiece it is now, it will be eventually. And that is the Stephen King's Dark Tower series, which, as a sample, Sepa Stories, I did read the very first book of the series, which is titled The Gunslinger, without author's permission. And if I ever get contacted by an attorney, I'll have to remove it or get permissions. I'm just such a huge fan of the work and the characters that he created, and what he did was absolutely brilliant in bridging every book he ever pretty much wrote to this singular book series. So if you're a Stephen King fan and you want to do some reading, pick up Salem's Lot, Carrie, Cujo, these early books, read them. Read the outside books, then start reading the Stephen King Dark Tower series, because what you're going to find, what's a marvelous, and here's a spoiler alert, what's a marvelous thing about the Dark Tower series is that you could read all these outside books, Insomnia, Desperation, The Regulators, these are all different books, Dolores Claiborne, Rose Matter, Rose Red, the movie series that he actually put out, the Diary of Ellen Rembauer, all these different things that he's kind of put out there. Of course, The Shining, Dr. Sleep, which I think is a collaboration. Nosferatu, written by Joe Hill, I think could easily fit into this, but which is Stephen King's son, and continuing the legacy. Thank you for that. When you read Stephen King's Dark Tower series, it's a Western, but it's not really a Western. It's magical in the same way that Harry Potter is. So if you like the Harry Potter series, dive into Stephen King's The Gunslinger. It may not be for you because it is a Western, but it's not entirely a Western. It is something more. And when you get to the second book and you finish the second paragraph, you'll understand why the series is the genius piece of work that it is, because what will happen you would never see coming in a million years. And that's how it starts. And he's just, Stephen King, oh my goodness, I worship at your altar. I love your work. So thank you for contributing what you have to literature. I think this piece of writing and work is just brilliant, and you'll see the scope of how far this thing goes. If you dive down that rabbit hole, I think you'll be amazed. And it aligns so beautifully with Harry Potter. In fact, there are Harry Potter references in Stephen King's work. That's how awesome. I think the two pieces could bridge easily. So with that, check out Stephen King. So now you know kind of what inspired me to start Sepa Stories. I am an avid reader. Reading is how I detox from stress. It is my form of escapism. And I don't feel guilty reading a book in the same way that I would sitting in front of a television screen, watching hours of television, just trying to unwind and cope with the lives that we're all involved in, the world that we're living in. And when I'm not doing things, you know, with my family or my kids, you know, then I've always got a book or a pad or Kindle or something in my hand where I'm listening to things. By the way, YouTube, if you want to listen to some more free books, I don't know if people are aware, audible.com is great, but you're paying to listen to things. There are many services and where you can listen to audio, but YouTube, check out audiobooks, and all of a sudden Jaws is out there. You can find all of the Alien books, all of them, from the very first, including, I don't think there is Prometheus, but there is Covenant. The Covenant stories are out there. Some of them are dramatized. BBC Radio on YouTube also does enactments. Stephen King's, of course, Salem's Lot being one of them. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds, well, there's a book called The Birds, and it's enacted by the BBC, and it is just as creepy, I think, as the film was, kind of creepier. I'm a huge movie buff, by the way. I grew up watching film, and when I say grew up watching film, I mean my earliest memories were sitting in a movie theater watching double and triple features of badly dubbed kung fu films with my dad in the 70s while my mom worked the night shift. You know, my dad would take me to the movie theater, and we would spend all night watching movies at the movie theater, and that was kind of my babysitter and, you know, a very inexpensive form of entertainment. It was a way to keep me distracted. So I grew up watching films like, you know, A Bridge Over, you know, the River Kwai. I grew up watching Bruce Lee films. In fact, when I was 3, I thought that the greatest thing in the world would to either marry, you know, be able to marry Ernie one day or to marry Bruce Lee. I was going to get married to one of those when I was 3. So Bruce Lee, I think, was my first hero. I loved growing up watching these types of films, and I still do. I still love these kinds of films, which now we would call these grindhouse films, films like what Tarantino makes. I just absolutely adore. I love films directed, written by, produced by Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez. I love these type films. They're kind of hardcore, and they've got that 70s twang. I discovered an amazing series. I love manga, and an older manga that I'm really into and a devout follower of is Lone Wolf and Cub. And it is the story of a samurai and his child, and they become Ronin. They're set up, and this particular shogun is, and his whole family gets wiped out in this evil ploy, you know, to take him down a notch. And he and his son end up roaming, you know, the countryside, you know, and as assassins. And it's just, it sounds kind of campy when I talk about it like this, but it is a manga series that was out before I was even born. And in the 70s, it looked like they tried to make a film version of The Lone Wolf and Cub. There are about 5 films that follow the manga books almost page by page. And they're really well done. And they're now available. You can find these, I think, on Netflix or Prime. And they're so fun to watch. You know, they're really over the top. Love them. They are hardcore. They are very 70s. I keep hoping that somebody will look at the Lone Wolf and Cub story and bring that to the modern age and, you know, really bring these stories. And you know that Lone Wolf and Cub, if this is something you want to kind of check out on your own, Lone Wolf and Cub, I mean, they go through this epic adventure all across, you know, Japan and during their time, and they have all these adventures, and it is just really quite marvelous. And then there's a series after Lone Wolf and Cub where it's the cub. He's come into his own. He's a grown-up. And, you know, the story continues with the son's story and their search for vengeance and redemption. It's just quite wonderful. So check that out. I do like books about Roman history. I'm a huge fan of Robert Graves' I, Claudius, and Claudius the God. If you want to find out a story that, and Rome, pretty much, HBO's Rome, kind of paralleled what I, Claudius was in book. PBS, which, or I guess it was Masterpiece Theater when I was a very young girl, did a dramatization of I, Claudius, and Claudius the God. And this is the story of the Emperor Claudius, who survived, of course, Caligula and Tiberius, and I think Nero was next. But, you know, he kind of grew up watching all the crazy turmoil and insanity of the Roman Empire just about falling apart, and how he ended up becoming an emperor himself, and then the scandals and things that he had to deal with. And it really makes you appreciate, I guess, how things then really aren't so different today. However, there are characters that you just love to hate, you know, and that they're just so bad. And you know that there are people like this everywhere, you know. And it's so, I guess stories teach us how to live. And I think that's why, you know, it's so wonderful to live all these different lives vicariously inside the pages of a book, or now electronically, reading things that people are publishing and putting out there. There's so many free sites to be able to read just about whatever you're interested in. There's really no reason not to cultivate and grow yourself as a person because it's there for you and it's free. So check it out. Grow yourself. Make some brain wrinkles. So here we are, 30 minutes, and I'm talking to you about just all kinds of random things. I am so excited to launch season four. I was kind of shaky there on season three. I didn't know how far we would get or if this would even be anything anyone would want to listen to. And I'm still kind of struggling trying to get SUPA stories out to wide distribution. And if you are listening, if you're a writer, give us a help. Share this podcast. This helps me to get your writing out. If you're a listener and you like what you're hearing and you can relate to some of this, then you know what? Give me a share or give me a follow. Let me know you're out there. Pop me an email. So that would be SUPA200@gmail.com. And actually, I think it's SUPAstories200@gmail.com. I'll find out for sure. Like I said, it's been a rough couple of weeks on my end of the world. And I know so many of you, if you're struggling day to day, if you just don't feel like you know what tomorrow will hold for you, if you feel lost, afraid, nervous, everything is up in the air. I know personally so many young people who graduated this last year and it's like college is on hold for them and jobs are on hold for them. And, it's like, what kind of work can you do? How do you even apply for a job, when you can't meet somebody face to face? Everything is digital. It seems like things are expensive or unavailable. And I have never seen the world quite like it is right now. But one thing I can say, I found this woman's channel. This was Depression Era Cooking, I think Cooking by Claire or something. I'll have to find the name of the thing. But this was a 91-year-old woman whose grandson was videotaping his grandmother a few years ago, I guess. And she would talk about what it was like to grow up in the Depression. And I watched one episode. I kind of caught it on Facebook. I saw this post that was shared. And then I was down the rabbit hole. And what I took away, I saw one episode, didn't really care about the recipes one way or another, but it was what she had to say that mattered. And what she had to say turned out to be quite poignant. She talked about in one episode how, the depression was really hard for people, and growing up in it was, terrible, that she had to stop going to high school because her mother couldn't afford to buy them clothes to wear. And that, that they would have to borrow clothing. And it was just so crazy, hearing what she went through, living through the Great Depression, and, some of the meals that they had, like picking dandelions out of their yard to have dandelion salad. And she actually, I think that's the episode I saw initially. She's wandering around her yard picking out dandelions, and she's saying, "This is how you have to prepare them, and this is how you eat them." And then she was showing how to make different meals that they ate during that time period, and like with a potato and an egg and some lentils, some just different things that, they ate what they had. But to hear her talk about how people were really struggling, she said, yes, it was a horrible time that people were losing their jobs and you couldn't find things to buy in the store. And if you did, you couldn't afford them. And, you just didn't know what you were going to do from day to day. And so many were losing their homes and, and going through this really difficult time. So to hear this 90, some odd year old woman talk about how she survived it in this time, in this era, with what we're going through, I know that we can too. It may seem impossible, and you may have anxiety and wonder, what do I do? Take your deep breath, go have that hot bath, do Do what you need to do to ground and center yourself. Call a friend, you know, text somebody. And if there's nobody around and you find yourself up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm telling you things because I know I've done them, then read or listen to my podcast. But you know, you're not alone. Please know that you're not alone. Right now, I think there are at least 22 million people in the United States alone who don't know what they're going to do tomorrow. So you're not out there by yourself. There are a lot of people who are really very worried about how they're going to be able to keep things running. If you think that you're in an impossible situation, and you may be, there are solutions, there are ways, and you know, we all just kind of have to think creatively and help each other. So stay hopeful. Please try to stay hopeful. If you pray, pray. If you don't believe in praying, that's okay too. Be kind. Kindness costs you nothing. And you know, it's like if you're worried what tomorrow will hold, worrying isn't going to change events one way or another. You can only control your own actions. So if that means, do I line up a side hustle and be ready, you know, for the worst eventuality, then you line up the side hustle. Does that mean, well, I don't have my degree and I can't get that job, then let's look on some online, you know, options and see if that's doable for you. If you're just looking at, oh my God, how am I going to make rent? I just need to make rent. I can't even think about all these other things. Then there's ways to do things. Earlier today, I ended up staining a fence. we being my husband and my two sons, we ended up stripping down a fence with a wire brush. We had wire brushes and we used a sander. We had that. And we picked up 6 gallons of wood stain and stained a fence for a couple of hundred this weekend to supplement our income. That's a side hustle. And anybody can do stuff like that. Right now, people are doing a lot of home repair, but there are a lot of people who can't afford to do home repair, or maybe they're not well, or they're older. So think creatively. You know, you can cook. You know, maybe you can do cooking. My next door neighbor is a hairdresser and was very kind enough to, yeah, girl, I'll cut your hair in the backyard. And I got a haircut on my back patio, you know, by my next door neighbor, and was able to hook her up with some shared groceries I had bought extra of. And so between some groceries and about $20 in cash, got a haircut. So, I mean, there's always ways to barter and to make things happen. You know, maybe you're trading things now, but it's people helping each other. You know, think outside the box, you know, look around at your situation, and it doesn't have to be bleak. It may not be easy. And, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, this is actually a quote from the Five Rings, and it had to do with samurai and sword training. But the quote, and I'm paraphrasing, is, you know, it's going to be hard, but that's okay. Everything is hard at first. And yes, it's going to be hard, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, and things are going to get a lot more crazier. But in 2,000 years, we as a species have managed to survive and thrive. And I think we have another 2,000 years in us if we can work together and help each other, help ourselves. So don't feel down. Don't feel down. You can do this. You got this. You know, use and play up to your strength, as Hermione Granger would say. So what are your strengths? What do you do well? Figure out whatever it is you do well, and then think, okay, how can I make that be something I enjoy and, you know, that can put bread on my table? And I promise you, you'll find whatever it is you're looking for. So good luck to you. And thank you for listening to Sepa Stories and my pep talk in these very kind of struggling and trying days. And with that, we're going to close this welcome to season 4 and get on to some great stories. I will have a story that I'm working on next. I've got a 50-chapter older story that I found a few years ago, got finally got in touch with the writer. She's amazing. And I have permissions to start recording it. So that is also something I will be working on. You'll have that one probably in a few weeks. It's going to take me a while to read that one for you. And like I said, if you want to reach out and, you know, brainstorm, present some writing, then please reach out to me. I'd be happy to proof and see if your story might be a good fit for SEPA. At the very least, I'll give you constructive criticism, and I never flame a work that I just don't believe in doing that. Okay, so beautiful people, beautiful listeners, beautiful writers, anyone checking this out, may every day bless you, and may kindness, you know, kindness find you, and may the sun and the rain and the gentle breezes bless you with abundance, and we will see you next time on SEPA Stories.